This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
Now we will have the scripture reading for today, and the passage for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. So I invite Sister Sophia to come and read the passage for us.
Good morning, church. Today's Bible reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, and that will be on page 1156 of the Church Bibles. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This is the word of the Lord.
I'll now invite Pastor Nicholas to come and speak to us from this passage.
Thank you, Denzel, for leading us today. Thank you, Sophia, for reading God's word. Let's pray as we look at God's word today. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, your truth find freedom, and your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hey friends, what's the most expensive curry puff you've ever eaten? My friends and I, we were going to go somewhere else, so we decided to meet at MRT station, at the control station. And while waiting for the latecomers, one of us got really hungry. So he took out his curry puff and he started eating. And when he was halfway through the curry puff, suddenly an MRT staff came out and started scolding my friend. He said, "You're not supposed to be eating at the train station." So we say, "Hey, uncle, give chance lah. You didn't give us any warning." Then the MRT staff said, "I kept playing the announcement over and over again. No, eating and drinking are not allowed in stations or on trains. Didn't you hear it?" Oh, then we have nothing to say. So he told my friend's IC and copied the details. And my friend's curry puff that day cost $30. Yeah, so he didn't get the maximum. So how is it that all of us in that group, we missed that message that we play over and over again that day, and like all the time we take the trains, we keep hearing that over and over again. Why is it we forget? Well, because we hear it so much, and we think that this message has become the background noise. But ignoring this message cost my friend $30. But ignoring more important messages will cost us even more. I think some of us are having our exams, so ignoring the message from a teacher about which chapters to study could cost us our exam results. Ignoring safety messages can be deadly. And last year at Desaru, I read about a Singaporean man and his son. They were playing at the water's edge at the beach, and there was this sign up. You see, it's a red flag. So the message of this red flag is to avoid all weather activities. The water is choppy, it's a bad time to play in the water. Now the man and the son, we don't know why they ignored the message, but they ignored the message. And they were playing at the water's edge. Unfortunately, the big waves came and they were swept away. The locals managed to save the son, 16-year-old son. Unfortunately, they didn't manage to save the man. So all because they ignored the message. Our passage today is about an eternal message. We call this eternal message the gospel. And gospel means good news. It's momentous news. It's history-changing news. It's the best news ever. The best news that's been playing over and over again for the past 2,000 years. It's an eternal message that you must hold firmly to. It's a message not just for the people then. It's also a message for you and I today. Whether you're visiting, whether you're new with us, or whether you have been in our church for a long time, whether you grew up in church or not. This message is for all of us. Today our passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 11. And we'll see what Paul says about the gospel. Today we'll cover the gospel, and the next 2 weeks after that, we'll focus on one important part of the gospel, which is on Jesus' resurrection. And then we'll see what Jesus' resurrection means for the world and for us. So today, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 11, we'll see that we must hold firmly to the gospel preached by witnesses of grace. So first, hold firmly. So this passage is about the gospel. Chapter 15, verse 1, Paul says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel." So Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in Corinth. So this letter addressed many of their issues. So we've been covering that the past couple of weeks. So they divided over the leaders to follow. There was sexual immorality. There were lawsuits. There was problems with singleness and marriage. And for the past few weeks, we saw that there was problems with spiritual gifts. And of all these different issues, Paul wants to remind them that the gospel is the most important one that they must get right. It's most important for them, and it's most important for us. Because for the Corinthians, they have missed out, or they have forgotten the gospel message. You see, for the Corinthians, they have lost sight of the gospel, of gospel living. Because in their arguing, they forget that the gospel means that Christians should be humble. So they forget gospel living. And the Corinthians have also lost sight of the gospel doctrine, of gospel content, gospel message. In verse 12, you see, in verse 12, they even deny that Christians will rise from the dead. Chapter 15, verse 12. "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So this passage, chapter 15, verse 1 to 11, this is like the introduction for the rest of the chapter. So before Paul explains the resurrection to them, Paul must remind them of the gospel that they heard him preach. So look at verse 1 and 2. So do you notice that the gospel he preached has something in the past and has something in the present? Chapter 15, verse 1. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, or you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." So in the past, Paul preached the gospel to the Corinthians. The Corinthians received the gospel, the Corinthians believed the gospel. And verse 1 says they have taken their stand on the gospel. So this means that they have pledged, they have promised to never move from this gospel that they have received. And so in the past, the Corinthians, they look like real Christians who have believed in the gospel. But Paul wasn't so sure whether this is going on now. So in verse 2, he challenges them. The gospel is also important for them in the present, because now, verse 2, in the present, the gospel continues to save them. They are being saved by the gospel. So this means God is continuing to save them from judgment through the gospel, by forgiving them of their sins. And so God is powerfully making them more and more like Jesus. So in verse 2, the past and the present gospel realities depend on whether the Corinthians hold firmly on the gospel that Paul preached. The second half of verse 2. "If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain." The Corinthians, they were to hold firmly to the gospel message that Paul preached. The gospel message that must teach them now and correct them now. They're not to progress from the gospel to other topics that they're now that they've heard the gospel before. Now, this way of thinking of the gospel is like treating gospel like kindergarten mathematics, where we learn in the past and then we move on. So our children in a kindergarten, our children in primary school, now we have problems with the primary school mathematics. We don't go back to the kindergarten like worksheets to see, well, what is 1 + 1? No, we have moved on to answer primary school maths questions. We need to look at the primary school maths textbook, not the kindergarten worksheets. No, that's not what the gospel is. The gospel is like a compass. It's like a gospel compass that we must keep referring to it. When I was in Scouts, okay, in those days, we had no Google Maps. Okay, so what we had is they'll give us a big Singapore map, and give us a compass, and then you say, okay, these are the checkpoints around Singapore, go, you're off. Still is like that. Do you use Google Maps? They advise you not to. Okay, very good. Okay, so that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to use the compass, use the map, and find our way around. We must never put that compass aside. Once we put that compass aside, we will get lost. The gospel is our compass for life. We must hold firmly to the gospel. We must never let go of that gospel compass. And we can lose that gospel compass when we think the gospel is irrelevant. We think, the gospel is only for kids, it's for Sunday school, it's too basic. There are more important things, more real problems I must face now. Or we disagree with the gospel as a compass, as our compass, because we say this is our life. We should be the compass. The culture should be the compass. Our family should be the compass. Maybe we just give God a little bit on Sunday, but the rest of the time is ours. My friends, if we lose that gospel compass, we don't just lose God's direction in your life. You lose God. It's as if, in verse 2, it's as if you believed in vain. It's as if believing the gospel has been a waste of time for you. It's as if you never believed in Jesus in the past and in the present. So the gospel is very important. It's really important. Verse 3, it says, Paul says this gospel is of first importance. Yeah, I think for us, when we take our exams, our O-levels, A-levels, there are some subjects that are more important, like English must always be counted, Chinese sometimes. But for us, for all of us, gospel is always number one. The gospel message takes first place in everything that Paul wants to say. And the gospel must take place in how we live our lives today. Now, what is it that's in the gospel? What does the gospel say? What's the gospel content? That's what we'll see in verse 3 to verse 7. Now, in the gospel, there are two main aspects to what the gospel message is. Who is it about? What did he do? Who is it about? What did he do? So, who is it about? Verse 3. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ. The gospel is about Christ. Now, Christ is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God who created everything. And Jesus Christ was born as a human being to be our Christ, to be our King. So Christ is a title that means King, the forever King who rules over the world for all time, over all of us who submit to Him, and even over all of us, even those of us who don't submit to Him. Christ is the most important, the greatest of all time in the universe. The gospel is about Christ. And what did he do? The rest of our passage gives us two details. First, Christ died for our sins. Verse 3. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, and that he was buried. So Christ is our God and our King. Yet this Christ died on the cross for us. You see, God made us, but you and I, we have all said no to God. We don't want God to rule our lives. We prefer to rule our lives. We run our lives our own way, or maybe by our family's way, or by culture's way, not by God's way. The Bible calls this rebellion sin. By children's ministry, one way to understand sin is this. So we have this acronym. So sin is shove of God. We don't want God to have any relationship with us. Instead, I'm in charge. And what about your authority? I say no to your rule. But you and I, we are guilty of sin against God. And for our guilt, we deserve to die. And then face, after death, face God's judgment for our sin. So it says, in verse 3, it says, Christ died for us. This means that Christ took our guilt and died in our place, so that you and I, we can be saved from God's judgment after this life. And this is a plan for God to, for Jesus to take our sin. This isn't a last-minute plan that God accidentally stumbled upon. No, this was the plan all along. You see, verse 3 says, Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. God's plan was always for Christ to die for our sins. Now, this plan can be found in the shape in the Old Testament. That's the power of the Bible that's before Jesus. And this plan can be more clearly seen in some specific passages, like the one that we just read in Isaiah 53. Okay, so Isaiah 53, well, we all like sheep have gone astray, each of us turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all have gone astray from God, and God has laid our sin, our iniquity, on Jesus. So Jesus died to take away our sin. So Jesus died so you and I can be free. And the Bible also records that Jesus, many witnesses saw Jesus die by execution on the cross. His enemies, his friends, both saw him die. And our passage's evidence that Jesus really died was that in verse 4, he was buried. Verse 4, he was buried and he stayed buried for 3 days. Now Jesus was put in a tomb with a heavy stone rolled in front of the tomb. He wasn't put in a tomb with a well-oiled door you can open and close anytime you want. No, because the dead, they stay dead. They stay inside the tomb. They don't come out. The dead stay dead. So when Jesus was put in a tomb at 3 days, and Paul says this is proof, this evidence that Jesus really died. But Jesus didn't stay dead. See, verse 4, it says that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. So on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. What this means is Jesus' physical body came back to life. And because Jesus rose from the dead, you and I know that God accepted Jesus' death for us. You see, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the only thing we know is that, okay, this person, Jesus, died. We don't know whether his death was effective to save us, to give us life. But because Jesus rose from the dead, this shows us that death could not hold on to Jesus. Jesus has victory over death. If Jesus has victory over death, then for you and I, if we believe in Jesus, you and I can have victory over death too. So because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that his death can save us. And this plan that Jesus would rise from the dead, again, this wasn't God's last-minute plan. This was always the plan. So we saw the hints that the whole Old Testament scripture gives us a shape that God's Messiah must suffer, die, and be raised. That's what Luke chapter 24 would say. But there's some passages that specifically hints at Jesus' resurrection. So again, Isaiah 53. After he is talking about Jesus, after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. After Jesus has suffered, he will see life. He will come back to life. Now, we know that Jesus came back to life because of the many witnesses. So another part of the Bible, in Acts, it says this. Okay. So it's talking about Jesus. After his suffering, after Jesus' suffering and death, he presented himself to them, to the disciples, and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. He spoke about the kingdom of God. So the risen Jesus continued preaching continued appearing for 40 days. Then after that, the risen Jesus ascended to heaven. So chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, gives us a bit more details about what Jesus did in the 40 days. So in verse 5, the risen Jesus appeared to the apostle Peter, or apostle Cephas. Now Peter, or Cephas, is one of the key leaders in the early church. After that, the risen Jesus appeared to his 12 apostles. Now the 12 apostles were close to Jesus, and they saw Jesus' miracles and teachings, heard Jesus' teaching while he was on earth. And in verse 6, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at that time. Most of them, or most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. The risen Jesus appeared to 500 people at the same time. Well, that's about twice the capacity of this room. But this means that, well, people really saw Jesus. Jesus really rose from the dead. This wasn't fake news. Now, some people think that these 12 apostles, maybe they had a mass hallucination and they thought they saw Jesus, but it was fake. But friends, it's impossible for 500 people to have the same mass hallucination about Jesus. Now friends, I have never met some people. I've never met Taylor Swift. I've never met Ed Sheeran. But can I say that they don't exist? And that thousands had mass hallucinated their concerts, and out of their mass hallucination, exchanged friendship bands and supported the Singapore economy? No, I cannot. Because some people have seen them in the flesh. Some people, and these people, I know one of them was part of her security detail. And some of them are even in our church. You can check with them. Are they real people? Now, in the same way, Paul says, when he was writing this letter, most of these 500 were still alive. The Corinthians could verify whether Jesus really rose from the dead with them. And other than this 500, verse 7 says that there's James and that there's the other apostles. Now, James is another key leader in the early church. And apostles, these are people other than the 12 apostles who have seen Jesus, and Jesus has appointed them to be his messengers. So all these people from verse 5 to verse 7, they have seen Jesus, some individually, some in small groups, some in a big group, 500 people. So Jesus really died, and Jesus really rose from the dead. And because Jesus really rose from the dead, we know that God has accepted Christ's death for us. Because God accepts Christ's death, this means that you and I, we can have forgiveness. God will forgive anyone who relies on Jesus to take their guilt of sin. Okay, let me try to understand the gospel in another way. So what is the gospel? So today we've seen that the gospel is about the person, Jesus Christ. So who is Christ? Christ is our forever King who will rule forever. Christ is, we learn from the gospel that Christ is our creator God who made us. He existed eternity past and he will continue to exist, continue to rule in eternity future. And this great God, Christ, took on human flesh for us, became man. And as man, as God and as man, what did he do? He died on the cross for our sins. And after that, he rose from the dead. So Jesus' death can really take our sins because God raised Jesus from the dead. So God's justice has been satisfied and God can forgive us of our sins. That's why the gospel is the best news ever. That God will love us enough to send his son Jesus to be one of us, die for us, for our guilt against him. So the best news is that because of who Jesus is, because of what Jesus has done, God forgives you and I of our sin when we trust in Jesus. I wonder what you think of the gospel. Now, some people don't believe in Jesus because they deny the gospel facts. They deny that Jesus really died. They deny that Jesus really rose. Some of us deny Jesus because they don't want to submit to a king. So for them, Jesus' death and resurrection, that's irrelevant. What they just don't want is for someone else to rule their lives, to submit to someone else other than themselves. But today we see that 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus really died, Jesus really rose. There are many witnesses, many proofs, we cannot deny it. And because Jesus really died, Jesus really rose, what does this tell us about Jesus? This means that Jesus must be the Christ. Jesus must be the forever King, and we must submit to him. Now, this was a momentous message that's continued on for 2,000 years. This is the message that you cannot ignore. Ignoring the best news ever means missing out of the only solution for your guilt before God. This is the only way for God to forgive you. This is the only way to live in this world before God. Now, this is a serious matter, and I hope you give the gospel serious thought. Do chat with me or the friend who brought to you after service if you'd like to know more. Or you can bring home one of the blue Bibles to read one of the biographies of Jesus. You can find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Now, these are biographies of Jesus. You can read it to find out for yourself who Jesus really is. And as you find out who Jesus is, I pray that Jesus will find you. So today we have seen that we must hold firmly to the gospel. And we've also seen what the gospel is. The gospel is about Jesus and about Jesus' death and resurrection. And next we see that the gospel was preached by witnesses of grace. Now, grace is about God's generosity to someone who doesn't deserve it. In our passage, at the Bible study, if you look at this, how all of God's messengers don't deserve to be God's messengers. Cephas, James, apostles, they have all failed God. They have all failed Jesus. And here, in verse 8 and 9, Paul gives us his story as his messenger. So first he says that Paul says he's not deserving of to be God's apostle, not deserving of God's to be God's messenger. And there are two reasons. First, in verse 8, it's because he was born late. He was abnormally born. Well, this means that Paul didn't witness Jesus' death and resurrection. And when Jesus, see, just now we looked at this, when Jesus met his disciples for 40 days after he rose from the dead, Paul wasn't there. Paul missed this. Paul didn't see the risen Jesus. And on top of that, so he was born late. On top of that, in verse 9, Paul persecuted the church of God. He opposed God by hunting down Christians, hunting down God's people to put them in jail. And in one case, recorded even approved of the execution. So you expect God to strike Paul down. But what did God do? So in verse 10 to 11, God showed Paul grace to appoint him as an apostle. So verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So by God's grace, the risen Lord Jesus appeared to Paul after Jesus ascended to heaven. So when Paul was going to persecute more Christians, put them in jail, Jesus graciously appeared to Paul. So Paul can be sure that Jesus really died and Jesus really rose. On top of that, Jesus graciously appointed Paul to be his messenger, to be his apostle, so that people can hear the gospel from him. And not just that, see, that's the first time we see the grace of God in verse 10. Yeah, in verse 10. But there's a few more times we see the grace of God. So the grace of God also caused Paul to work hard to preach the gospel. Yeah, so someone in the first service told me that in verse 9 and 10, we see the grace of God three times. About God's grace appointing Paul to be an apostle, and about God's grace working in Paul to keep preaching the gospel, to work hard for the gospel. This means that if God didn't show Paul grace, then Paul will keep doing what he's doing, keep persecuting the church, and end up continuing being an enemy of God and face God's judgment at the end. But God's grace reached down from heaven and changed Paul's direction in life. So instead of being Paul's enemy, Paul became God's messenger. The gospel's messenger. Instead of persisting in rebelling against God, Paul now perseveres in preaching the gospel. Paul didn't deserve God's kindness to him. Paul didn't deserve God's grace. And that's what grace looks like. So God shows Paul grace the grace of the gospel through Paul's salvation. So Paul understands what grace means and what kind of grace has saved him. And this is the gospel of grace that he preaches to his listeners. This is the gospel of grace that teaches the Corinthians and teaches you and I that you and I, we don't deserve God's kindness. There's no room for pride. So for the Corinthians, they cannot take pride that they are better than other people, maybe because they follow the right leader compared to others, or that they know their Bibles better compared to others, or maybe they have more impressive gifts compared to others. It's the same for us. Because of the gospel, you and I cannot take pride that we follow the right Bible teachers compared to others. We cannot take pride that we know our Bibles better than others. We cannot take pride that we have more impressive gifts compared to others. The gospel is not God helps those who help themselves. No, it's not. The gospel is not keep the laws, keep the rules, and God will bless you. No. The gospel is a gospel of grace. The gospel is God knows that you are not good enough. So Jesus, both God and man, died to save us. If we all need Jesus to die and save us, this means that no one can save ourselves. No one can keep God's rules, God's laws in the past to save you. And even in the present, with Jesus working in you, you cannot perfectly obey God. What this means for us is that you and I, we must keep relying on God's grace. Keep relying on the grace in the gospel now and forever to save us. This is the gospel you must hold firmly to. If not, you believe in vain. So hold firmly to the gospel preached by witnesses of grace. Now what would it mean for us to hold firmly to the gospel of grace? Does it mean that everywhere I go, I must always hold the Bible? And that's holding firmly the gospel of grace? No, that's not what it means. What this means is, we hold firmly to who the gospel is about. We hold firmly to Christ, who died and rose for us. We never ignore the gospel because Christ died for us. But this week I was reading a magazine and I realized, Hulk Hogan, this wrestler in the past, is a Christian. And he said something profound and I found it very helpful. So he said, there's a difference between knowing Christ and knowing about Christ. So knowing about Christ will be knowing the Bible's contents, knowing that Jesus factually died and rose from the dead. But that's different from knowing Christ for yourself, knowing Christ relationally, knowing Christ's love for you, experiencing Christ's love for you in the gospel, that he died for your sins. That's something, so we must keep holding on to Christ, the Christ that the gospel presents to us. But what is it that God has given us to help us, to sustain us, to keep holding on firmly to Christ? I think there are many things. I'll just focus on two. So first, God has graciously given us the Bible. The Bible points us to Christ's death and resurrection. So we keep reading the Bible over and over again to see, to appreciate, to love, to learn about Jesus more and more. And it's not just gospel content we want to know. We want to read the Bible to meet Jesus, to meet Christ. So be encouraged again and again by Christ's love for you in the pages of the Bible. See his love for you where he died for you and rose from the dead, according to Scripture. And that's not all. You see, God has given us each other in church. So we can be like the Corinthians and compare ourselves, we wrongly compare ourselves to see whether we're better or worse than other people. No, we shouldn't do that. What we should do instead is we look at God's grace working in each other's lives and glorify God for that grace at work. So practically, this means that we need to speak to one another about Jesus. This talking about Jesus isn't for us just for the non-Christians. Talking about Jesus is also for Christians. We talk about Jesus when we are struggling with our gospel compass. We can share with our brothers and sisters to pray for us. We can also ask other people how they are doing in holding firm to the gospel and praise God and glorify God for his grace and work in their lives. And so for us, as we reflect on the Bible, this gives us content. This gives us things to talk about when we chat with other people about how the gospel is at work in the lives of believers. And as we hear about how the gospel is at work in the lives of believers, this encourages us to go back to the Bible to meet Christ. So you see, there's this cycle that God has given us. So read the Bible helps us in our community. And as our community, you hear about Jesus, this helps us to meet Jesus in the Bible. This is what we need to keep doing over and over again. So for Christians, if you want to die as a Christian, take one of these out, stop reading the Bible, or start coming to church. This is how you believe in vain. Don't believe in vain. Hold on to the gospel for life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose from the dead. Please help us hold firm to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.